One of those great feelings at work is when you leave the office on a Thursday, knowing you've got Friday off for some reason, your three-day weekend is about to begin, while your coworkers are stuck coming back in for one more day. What if you could feel that way each and every week without using vacation time or reducing your salary? Some companies are starting to experiment with making the four-day work week their permanent structure. A pilot study recently wrapped up in the United Kingdom where employees worked 80% of their normal hours for 100% of their normal pay while committing to maintain 100% of their productivity. The results showed improvements in employee well-being and also increased revenues for the companies involved. But not every workplace or industry is set up to function on that kind of four-day work week. The shift can create additional challenges in some kinds of work. We want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the prospect of a four-day work week? Would you like to see it implemented where you work? Would something like that be successful in your workplace? Why or why not? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Alexander Stajkovich is an associate professor of management and human resources in the UW-Madison School of Business. His research focuses on leadership and organizational behavior. Alex, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Thanks for the invitation to be on the show.
I keep seeing things come up about the four-day work week, including this UK study I just mentioned. Why do you think we're seeing maybe more interest from companies thinking about a four-day work week lately?
Well, I think initially it's because the question is both intellectually stimulating and broadly consequential. So it's stimulating because it juxtaposes business and social goals. And that's always interesting because they're on different metrics. And the consequences of this could be broad, both to what you do at work and what you do at home.
Now, if I own a business, there are lots of kinds of businesses, but I might worry, okay, if my employees are only coming in 4 days a week and they're not working longer days, well, they're there 80% of the time. Are they going to get 80% as much done? When you look at the studies that are out there, what do we look at when we figure out if we're going to lose productivity by working fewer hours?
And I think that's the key question, really, because if we start with the hypothesis of this question or the English study, it's we're going to go down to 32 hours from 40 hours. We will maintain the pay, and the performance will either be the same or better. So we're saying less is more, which is possible, but it's rare. And it really requires some serious substantiation in terms of theoretically why should this happen and what kind of evidence we have. This English study, if I may sound a little bit like a pros and cons on it.
Which is fine.
And that's just because I think I'd like to provide a balanced conversation so we don't set up our managers to fail, basically.
Sure.
So it's very intriguing. It's very interesting. So with the English study at first, I wouldn't bet on it.
Okay.
Put it that way. And skeptic might ask, why is that? So let me give you a few kind of reasons why, and you can jump in at any time.
Sure.
So the study was about the benefits of four-day week, but it was done by an advocacy group called Four-Day Week. So a skeptic might ask, what are the odds they'll find something against a four-day week, right? And of course, they found support. A study was not peer-reviewed. As far as I know, I looked everywhere to see if data would be public, if people wanted to reanalyze, and as far as I can tell, it was not. So let me give you maybe two or three key issues, right? So the first one is, they're saying that their independent variable was something that was meaningful reduction in work. So it wasn't defined like percentage or number. It was meaningful. Okay, we're fine with that. But then they allowed that to vary by different companies. So basically, they had different independent variables. As they say, they had it staggered, decentralized, annualized, and conditional. Well, that would be like you provide a patient with 20 milligrams, 30, 40, and 50. And then it's like, well, which one worked? Well, so that's one big problem, right? We don't know exactly what was the independent variable. So that's one. On the dependent variable, that was probably the biggest problem. They went from the average work week of 4.86 days. So it wasn't five to start with. But then what they examined was 4.52 days, Rob.
Oh, okay. So they didn't cut from five to four.
So it wasn't cut to 20%. So the cut was 7%. So it's a little easier to find same performance if the difference is 7% versus 20%. So those are the two kind of biggest issues with that study.
Well, now you look at employee motivation, among other things, what motivates people to work. Is there, in your research, something to suggest that, okay, if we cut some hours from workers in certain circumstances, they're going to be healthier and happier, or in some other way they're going to benefit from it in a way that makes them more productive workers in the time that they're there?
It could be, and you're right. That's what I study, basically, what makes people motivated at work, right? And how do we do that? So I can make an argument in two or three senses as to how that could happen, but I think that should be balanced by about five or six that would go in the other direction, right? So the big question is, why should this work, right? What is the variable? What is the motivation variable that would make you work less, produce the same or more? What that assumes is that your goal is going to go up, right? Because you're squeezing 40 hours into 32. Mm-hmm. So whatever your goal is, it goes up, and your goal goes 20% up. Now, that's a little tricky premise here, because that either means, I hate to say it, your people are slacking now, if you have a 20% buffer. Or you need to come up with really some great procedures that we haven't thought of. So, and by the way, nobody in goal theory recommends 20% increase, at least not overnight, maybe gradually over time. So that's the first problem with the goal difficulty. Second one is, if you have a higher goal, maybe you need new skills to achieve the higher goal, right? Third one is, what will that do to your cognitive overload? Now, that could be the positive variable. It could be that simply by working a day less, their cognitive overload goes down, they have more mental processing available, and they do better.
Right. So I wonder about the kind of work. If it's you're producing X number of units per hour on a assembly line or a grocery clerk or something like that, that 20% increase probably isn't going to happen. But people might say, okay, what about a creative problem-solving work, and the having more time off, more free time is going to make you more creative. You're going to use the time you have more efficiently because you have that more free time.
And that's a great point, right? So there are some industries in which this is just not feasible, right? Use your local post office person, right? He has the same amount of mail. Now what is he going to do? Start speeding or hurting neighbors and stuff? So that's not possible. Now, creativity could be one of the industries where this should work, except that more efficiency is negatively correlated with creativity. So if I force you to be more efficient and say, listen, Rob, this, you have 32 hours, you better produce the same as you produce with 40 hours, so watch every second, watch this, watch that. I'm putting more pressure. The more pressure I put on you, the less working memory you have to be creative. So in a way, my bet is it would stifle creativity. Now, if you let him have it, and oh, that's a different story. But if you just have the same equation, let's squeeze it into 32, I'm not sure.
We're talking to UW-Madison business professor Alex Stajkovic about the four-day work week. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have? What are the biggest pros and cons that you see? Have you done this? Have you had a job where you work for 8-hour days and that counted as full-time, or for 10-hour days? I did that at a job for a year or so. It was nice to have the extra day off. Those 10-hour days were kind of long. Think about your own workplace. Do you see a way in which a 4-day work week would work for you, for your coworkers? If you had more people, would it take that to make it work? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Alex Stajkovic, professor in the UW-Madison School of Business, with us today looking at the potential benefits and drawbacks of a four-day work week. And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your experiences maybe. If you've worked in a place that was full-time at, say, 4 days a week, did it work? Did it not work? Is this an idea that you think would be effective in your place of work, whatever that might be? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go to your calls now. Tim is with us in Ladysmith. Hi, Tim.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I guess I was trying to figure out the flip side of this coin, meaning the detriments or the benefits to the employee. Main questions being, if we go from 40 hours a week to 32, does a salary, does an hourly wage get increased with that? For salaried employees, as they work on a basis of finishing job objectives, and that's what their pay is based on, they may work 50 to 55 hours a week. If a regular work week is reduced from 40 to 32, how does that affect the salary employee? And the last question I have is about benefits. If you've got a 401, if you've got an employer that pays workman's comp, how does that all switch when hours worked per week are reduced? Gotcha. You have people that have educations that don't want to lose their wage because hours are reduced. They want to benefit of reduced hours, but they don't want to reduce a wage.
Tim, thanks a lot for the call. Great practical questions there. The study, despite its flaws, the idea was holding salary steady while cutting back on hours. I imagine it could be very demotivational if I went to employees and said, good news, you're working 4 days a week. Bad news, you're taking a 20% pay cut. What do you think, Alex?
Well, yeah, our skeptic might reframe the same thing and say, well, if there is part-time available, if you want to do 32 hours, you're welcome to do it. And especially if you're willing to get less for that.
Thanks for the call, Tim. One suggestion I've seen, and again, and just some of the people commenting on this UK study, is the idea of, okay, maybe we won't get this enhanced productivity. We'll even things out by hiring more people at fewer hours. We'll have a bigger staff, maybe a little more slack for when people get sick or whatever. We're employing more people, and maybe we can hold steady on productivity and not increase costs too much. What do you think about that, Alex?
Well, I think that's a different premise, because that's more of a labor economics, spread out, hire more people. That's a different idea from, let me tell you, less is more. And here is this X motivational factor that would make that happen. I was dying to find in this literature, what is that factor that would actually do that? So to me, that's kind of in a way more interesting, that, because again, we can hire an economist, they'll figure out the other things, but I haven't seen what that was. That is my biggest problem with this.
Thanks a lot for that call. Gail joins us now in Fish Creek. Gail, hi.
Hi. Back in my day working for big corporations back, they started what they called summer hours, which were special hours where you worked a couple of extra hours. It was still a 40-hour work week, but you got your Friday afternoons off. When it turned out, most everybody ended up working that Friday afternoon too. So the strategy of the corporation actually worked, because they were doing it during the summer, which was to try to get more work out of people during the summertime, than because vacations and people are wanting to be out and taking some time. This caused the corporations to get free work out of people, basically, because a lot of people were on salary. So how many hours they work, how many hours they work.
Gail, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Alex, you were nodding along with that. Oh, why is that?
Well, there was another confound in that related to that question, potentially, which is it's called history effect. I can maybe get these findings depending on how I design the study. So if I start in December and end in June, generally speaking, seasonally, depression reduces, or is the highest in winter and gets lower and lower in the summer months. And that was certainly not controlled in the English study.
Gail, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about the four-day work week, one specific study, and more general concepts about it. You could join in with your thoughts, your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Heard from Patrick in Oconomowoc, who said he works a 4x10 shift. So 4 10-hour days a week. Loves having 3-day weekends, can go up north. It's great for someone in midlife age. I used to have a 4x10, but I was off on Wednesday, which is a great day to get errands done. What do you think, Alex? I don't know if there's research out there, but that kind of flexibility for workers where they can, you know, if they want, get their 40 hours in 4 days. Do you think people respond to that kind of flexibility?
I think they might, if it's feasible for the business.
Right.
Right. So assuming we're not talking some input-output manufacturing, mm-hmm. that it has to be done, I'm all for it. And I had some great stories from students over years on flex schedule. And it's not because flex schedule is all that intellectually interesting, but it's because the needs, preferences, fears, anxieties you have might change. And sometimes that change in schedule can really hit the spot and make you motivated for whatever other reasons you might have, right? Mm-hmm. So let me give you one example from many years, if I may, really
sure.
quickly.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. The guy was saying, listen, I would have never thought of flex schedule. That's not it, except I had this person who was working. It wasn't working out. Basically, here's what it was. So I asked him. I said, hey, what can we do about this? And he said, listen, I have two teenagers at home. My wife just passed. And here's my problem. Currently, the way my schedule works, when they come from home, I'm not home yet. When I come home, they're gone to post-school activities. When they come back, I'm tired. They're tired. We don't get to see each other at all. We don't have supper together. If there is any way to either move it this way or that way so that we overlap at least once a day, preferably around 3:30 when they come home, that would be everything for me. This manager says you would not believe the change because at that particular time, it was that flex schedule that really worked for that person. So I give credence to it, but it really depends whether it's needed or not.
Sure, and it seems like that kind of thing is really hard to scale.
Absolutely.
Meeting your individual needs versus what do I do in my 300-person company?
And that's always the question. That is always the question, how we scale it. And I don't give too much slack to managers in that. That's why you paid more. Go figure it out. Do behavioral audit. And you don't really manage 300 people. You manage 5-10. They're mm-hmm. immediately under you. So try to figure out their needs, and they'll figure out somebody else. So it's not easy, obviously. But I think at least there is something that could be done to improve that.
Talking to Alex Stajkovich, professor in the UW-Madison School of Business, looking at various ways to tackle the idea of a four-day work week. Back to your calls now with George in Ashland. George, hello.
Gentlemen, I wanted to let you know I have a son who is a salaried professional engineer working for a municipality. And in their situation, they get an extra day off every other week by working a 9-hour day, 5 days a week the first week, and 4 days a week the second week. So that covers still a 40-hour average work week, but the extra day off every other week for this family with two children and two working parents just seems to work out beautifully for them.
And George, do you know, is this something that municipality offered, or did your son kind of go to them and say, can we tweak this so I can have this day off? How did that come about?
I think originally it was individuals asking
gotcha.
For a tweak, and I think now it's generally available, but I'm not positive about that.
So there's some of that negotiated flexibility again, Alex.
Yeah, and especially if you need it. I think it's perfectly okay to approach your manager, going back to being idiosyncratic, and say, hey, right now in my life, here is the situation, and that one extra day would really work out for all kinds of different reasons. I think a lot of managers are reasonable and they consider it, again, if it's possible, given the system and the structure. So I'm perfectly okay if people do that. I would encourage them. I would hope they would come to me with questions like that.
George, thanks a lot for that call. I appreciate it. Okay, Alex, say a business owner reads these UK studies. Here's what you're saying. Okay, they're not perfect studies, but I'm interested in trying it. What would you recommend they think about, talk about, plan before they dive into a four-day work week at their site?
So first, I'd say, listen, for every complex problem, there is a simple solution and it's wrong. Meaning, please think about it before you do it. What are the variables in it? Why should this work and why should this not work? And unless that's explained somehow to you in some satisfactory manner, I'm not sure I would do it. I would certainly meet with my employees then, try to discuss, try to tell them what I'm doing so they don't think it's some psycho mumbo jumbo and then we change it. Well, think about it. If it doesn't work, I have to go back then and say, listen, somebody failed, right? Either me or you or all of us. So I would be certain to do it up front to explain what's going on, get input from them. Why do you think this might work for us? Mm-hmm. And it might be maybe a lot of young people with kids, so that might be the reason. On the other hand, it might not work because they might say, that's not my issue now, but I need a little more income. I actually would prefer, if I could, if you're going to pay me same for 32, to work the other 8 plus to make more. So I would try to get data on the ground with our own people. Where do we stand? Why should this work? If they start it, I would make sure to measure things. So if you say the subjective well-being is going to increase, measure it. And then relate it to outcomes and kind of see where we stand with that.
Alex, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much for the invite. I really appreciate it.
We've been talking to Alexander Stajkovic, Associate Professor of Management and Human Resources in the UW-Madison School of Business. His research focuses on leadership and organizational behavior. He joined us for a look at companies that are moving to 4-day work weeks, or at least giving it a try. You can keep sharing your thoughts, maybe your experiences, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.